Hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. This is E3 podcast day one.
It's official now. It's on. It's not day zero anymore.
That's right. We have survived an entire day of E3.
The longest day.
I'm sitting here at the round table with James Jones.
Hey. James is pretty tired.
He's smiling.
James is happiness personified.
He's smiling. You can't see it. Neil is here.
I am.
Yeah, all right. And Mike.
Hey, we kind of got all the podcasts.
The TYP
represented.
This is like it's like Jump All Stars or Super Robot Tyson podcast edition. Mike is wearing his very adorable fabric sticker of Kirby.
Yep.
We'll get to that in a sec, but I think what we're going to do today is start off by talking about the Nintendo press conference, which we got up very early for.
Mm-hmm.
And
after having a very little sleep.
If you listened to the lovely podcast last night, then Activision event was absurd.
Yeah, and it went late. I haven't listened to that yet, I'm sure.
It's very... we're tired.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you did a good job. I look forward to catching up with that. But, we're going to start with the press conference, and then, of course, E3 started almost immediately afterward. So then we will talk about our impressions of first-party stuff that we played. And all four of us played 3DS today. So not everybody got a chance to. The booth is set up in a bit of a crazy way.
Yeah, I think when we first got it, like, we got there when it opened, and there was, I think, I heard something about it was a two-hour line from where the 3DS was at that point. It got better as the day went on.
Right. It wasn't necessarily a two-hour line all day, but it just depended. When Mike and I jumped into the line later on, it took 20, 30 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, that's when I did too, and James as well.
Yeah. So we've all played 3DS. I think we probably all played Zelda here. So we'll have some things to talk about. Of course, Mike hasn't quite played Zelda yet. I take that back. He will tomorrow, don't worry. And, of course, I should preface by saying our detailed impressions of all this stuff are either already on the website or will be going up in the next day or two. So, go there for, more specifics, more details, more better descriptions than we can give you here. This is just a taste of it. Go to NintendoWorldReport.com for the full rundown. Now, to start off with the press conference, we roll in there, we sit down, we see the trivia question about there being 34 Imagine titles from Ubisoft, 32 of which are on DS.
There were about three or four trivia questions about Donkey Kong, which in my eyes more or less confirmed that we were seeing that Donkey Kong.
Right. But there were two questions about Imagine games, so that pretty much blows your theory out of the water.
The trivia was...
Yeah, but, well...
Anyway,
there were Nintendogs trivia, too, which also played into it.
Let's not dwell on the trivia questions. And by the way, the live blog, I was writing that as we went, and I think it's a pretty detailed rundown, and it's still on the website, so if you want to go read that.
Yeah, and Carly put up a summary of the entire press conference.
And you have my photos you can check out as well.
There you go.
Yay.
It's almost like watching it, which you probably could
also
have done or still
at
do as well.
At e3.nintendo.com.
Yes, that's what we were told. So Reggie came out and just started basically just dropping game announcement bombs all over the place. It was, I think I just want to quickly address the tone of and the style of the press conference, because this is the fourth one, sort of, if you count the Activisions, the fourth one that we've actually been to, and the fifth one that we've seen, counting Microsoft yesterday morning. And, this was more like EA's for me, in that it was basically game, 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 game. They don't spend that long on any particular game.
Except for Zelda, there was a good 20 minutes on Zelda.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. 20 minutes? I think it might have seemed longer than it really was. I don't think they spent 20 minutes on anything.
Did they start exactly at 9?
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Okay, because I remember when they moved off of Zelda, it was like, I think it just hit 9:20 because I had a computer.
It might have been my perception that was off. Mm-hmm. But Reggie came out and basically said, okay, right off the bat, Zelda, here you go.
Yeah, Skyward Sword.
We saw the Skyward Sword. Miyamoto came out and demoed it. He had some wireless interference problems, but Bill Trenum was translating for him, and he showed it off. And I think the first thing we all noticed is the art design, which wasn't... it's really not in any extreme direction. I mean, you know, we kind of thought maybe it's really realistic, maybe it's really cartoony, maybe it's something
it's
Paper Zelda or some, you know, something really weird. But instead, it's basically Twilight Princess, but more colorful with some subtle toon shading, particularly on Link and the like, the boss character, the big scorpion in the show. Some of the other enemies have some subtle toon shading, mainly I'd say in the lighting effects and the way the lighting is kind of soft on the surfaces. Yeah.
To bring in a little bit from the round table later, Miyamoto said there about how it's almost there's an impressionist vibe that they wanted to bring to it.
Right, yes.
And
comparing your video game to Cezanne is pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I see what he's going with. It does have a pastel look. A lot of the textures
are
sort of...
Watercolor kind of.
Yeah, there's a watercolor bit to it. It's not really washed out like Valkyria Chronicles or something like that. It's not that washed out, but you know, the colors are interesting and they're not super vibrant. It's colorful, more colorful than Twilight Princess, but it's not garish, certainly.
Well, I feel like they're trying to go for a little more of the pop that you found with like Wind Waker, but without going to that extreme. It's almost like they feel like they went too far with Twilight Princess and now they're sort of bringing it back to what they care about.
It should be noted with all this graphical stuff is that I think we're going to see something in this line, but it's going to be very different from when we see the final game, at least from what I heard from reps on the floor and what they even talked about on the roundtable.
They're still cleaning up the art style. But
you can tell that. I mean, there's a few textures in the game, especially on the ground, that I think are blurrier than they should be. And Aaron Kluska seemed to think that they were almost intentionally blurry. You know, like almost to cover up the fact that the textures aren't going to be super, super, super sharp. And so they made them sort of pastel-y and stylized in order to cover up the fact that they're not going to be super high res. Okay, we'll see. I have a feeling that the final game will be consistent with what we've seen today. But maybe when you see other environments, then they kind of bring a different flavor to it. You see the art style presented in a different way. And so maybe, I mean, what they've shown so far is you're kind of in this mushroom forest, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like something out of the Smurfs, honestly.
I'm not
making fun of it, but it honestly looks like a scene from the Smurfs. And it's not the most, it doesn't create that striking of a visual impression.
It's not mind-blowing, but I like the graphical style.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what we heard later that, you know, this character Link is kind of from the sky city or the sky land.
Some floating island above the clouds.
Right, it's called Skyloft. It's above the clouds. I'd like to see that. That sounds much different than what we've seen in the demo. And then, you know, I'd like to see how lava look. I mean, that was one of the pleasures of Wind Waker, seeing how all the ocean and the lava and all these different
familiar places look in that lava style. Stuff in the trailer.
Yeah, well, just, yeah, very,
just
very,
very, very.
It definitely had some Wind Waker-esque special effects.
It does.
So. So anyway, it's, of course, it's fully motion plus, and it has all these different items. It has the whip from Spirit Tracks.
Yep.
The bombs. It has this
weird beetle thing.
Right, the flying beetle that you release, and, you know,
basically
kind of
reconnaissance or stealthy switch hitting stuff like that.
Yeah,
and he picks up bombs, and you can, like, drop or take bombs to farther away and blow stuff up. So
the beetle can grab bombs. So, you know, my first impression is they were showing these different items, and I noted this in the live blog, but it's all of these things are straight out of Wii Sports or Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The bombs have a bowling vibe to it and also almost a basketball vibe to it.
You can either throw a basketball style or bowling style. You've got the archery, you've got the sword play. It's all there. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the items mimics a table tennis.
You even have air sports with a
beetle.
With a beetle.
It controls just the same way as the planes.
The slingshots.
I joked that I'm going to be behind the curve when I play this game because I barely played Wii Sports Resort, so I'm going to be totally...
Because you haven't played it yet, right?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play
it. You're
going to
play
Zelda
and be
games.
Completely confused.
Yeah.
How do you do this archer?
Yeah. So, Wii Sports Resort is the training ground for the new Zelda.
Yeah. And I mean,
more than I expected.
That's what they said.
They warned us for that, and I was expecting that, but not quite to this degree.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but you know, it all seems to come together very well. The game has a nice interface, and that You switch items without having to go to some damn sub-screen.
They said something ridiculous about it. It's like, you're diving, you're putting your hand into a bag, you're pulling stuff out.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you
that
can romanticize that all you want.
Yeah.
It's a very quick item switch interface.
Someone said it's like the Metroid Prime 3
visor switch.
Visor switch. It's very analogous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing. So, you know, and then they also show Link drinking a potion as he's walking and hopping around. It seems to me they're doing a lot of things to sort of streamline the interface so that you don't ever have to, like, pause and switch some things and then unpause.
Well, it's sort of like with the Mario Galaxy, they streamline the interface to getting to the levels. It seems like they're kind of doing the same thing here.
Right. You know, what we haven't seen from Zelda is really how the world ties together, how it's all put together, how it's structured. We haven't seen a dungeon yet. We haven't really seen the puzzle solving. We haven't seen the super guide. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
It was basically
still
a proof of concept gameplay demo.
Right, exactly. But yeah, in terms of how it all fits together, and you know, there's still a lot we don't know. And it looks like we're going to be waiting a while. James was right on this one. I give you credit, sir.
Yeah, well.
It's not coming out this year.
Nope.
From what we heard later in the roundtable, Miyamoto, it sounds like, is expecting this to come out early in 2011. I'm thinking like a Q1 release.
They made a comment about how I think they're like making one or two more dungeons and they're figuring out, like, they're going to settle the art style, and I think that's pretty much all the game they have to do.
Well, but then
And then testing.
Like, Tommy Tallarico said once they're done in quotes, they like to sit on it for a while and tweak it.
Yeah, sure.
So it's clear that they don't want to be rushing to get it to a holiday release, and they don't need to, and so they're not going to.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
They've already taken 4 years. They might as well take another 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly a delay, but, you know, that leaves the question of what is their big holiday title. And I don't think we got a definitive answer today, but...
Well, doesn't Donkey Kong holiday?
Wii Party.
I think it's some combination of Donkey Kong, Kirby, and Wii Party.
I don't think it's going to be a super strong holiday for Nintendo, at least software-wise.
Well, it's certainly more of a spread.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like
there's
this
not
one,
the one
giant title that's really our cornerstone. It's more of, you know, there's a group of things, and certainly Donkey Kong, this is Donkey Kong Country Returns, the game from Retro Studios.
That was rumored earlier.
And Kirby, you know, combined, I think they're really compelling. I don't know how much mainstream appeal. I guess there's a lot. I mean, to me, they both strike me as like really hardcore experiences in that they're 2D platformers. They're the kind of things that I like to play.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's obvious that they're going after the appeal of New Super Mario Bros. Wii, but I haven't played Kirby yet, but from Donkey Kong, I would say that game is probably a lot harder than Mario. And the Donkey Kong gameplay is not as familiar as Mario because it has changed from game to game over time.
Right.
And this is, in some ways, going back to Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo.
They are literally returning, like the name says.
But there's also a good bit of stuff in there from Jungle Beat.
Yeah,
and
I feel like it has a Jungle Beat art style.
It does. It looks a lot like
Jungle Beat. It looks really good, too.
Yeah,
great
of course. It's co-op, so you can play one player as Donkey, one as Diddy, and then Donkey can pick up Diddy.
Yeah.
Which is
actually,
it's kind of like
Kirby. I mean, Kirby has a similar thing. You can pick up the other player
and
there.
And use them as a weapon.
I almost feel like they're kind of, I don't want to say redundant games,
they are.
But they're very, they are similar.
But
they are
redundant
games. I mean, they're coming out about the same time, and they're basically the same game with a different mechanic dropped on top of it.
I mean, they're
different art style.
They're both 2D platformers, but no,
they're both
I feel like Donkey Kong Country is going to be, I guess, more of a hardcore game. I mean, you made the comment about the challenge, whereas from playing Kirby, I don't think you can die in Kirby.
You
just lose gems.
It's basically like Wario Land 2.
It's like. Or I made the comment when I was playing it. It's like Lego Star Wars, where it's Lego Star Wars or any Lego character game where you get hit, you just lose like the Lego pieces.
I'm already asleep. I can't handle the Lego talk.
But the reality situation is they're two games that have the exact same basic premise, which is 2D platformer.
But they both play very differently.
Though.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to be marketing redundant.
I think from a bird's eye view, it looks odd for Nintendo to release two 2D platformer games on Wii, first party, probably within a month of each other, or, you know, more or less. They're both for the holiday season.
Especially if both have that heavy co-op emphasis. I mean, it's heavily... I mean,
I don't know how heavy it is for Donkey Kong.
Every shot they showed was co-op in the press conference.
I played a co-op.
Pretty much every shot they showed was co-op. Yeah, it was. Period. End of discussion.
Anyway, I think Donkey Kong Country Returns is a lot of fun from what I played. It is quite challenging.
Yeah.
The minecart level was pretty brutal.
It's a great level.
I died twice in exactly the same spot consecutively.
I wanted to play that.
And I had a little trouble. I felt like it was a little slippery, but it's like Donkey Kong Country.
Right. The characters do not stop on a dime.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's what killed me in that minecart level, is that I was sliding all over the place as Donkey Kong.
So as that, you know, as that showed up in the press conference and the rumor that IGN posted and that we had recirculated as well was confirmed, I don't know if I felt regret or, you know, disappointment, because I like Donkey Kong Country. I do feel like it's weird to go back to DKC when they just had Jungle Beat. Now, Jungle Beat 2 I'd be fine with, you know.
But it's been 5 years since Jungle Beat.
I guess Jungle Beat.
So well.
Jungle, I know, but Jungle Beat's an almost like a perfect game to me.
It's
like,
awesome.
Just,
great.
Just like,
and then they ruined it with new play control. But that's a debate for another day.
Yeah, I haven't played that.
Don't play it.
I like Rare's Donkey Kong Country games. It's a little weird for another company to be making one of those. And especially when it's obviously incorporating quite a bit of stuff from Jungle Beat, even down to, you know, Donkey boxing the bosses.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed that in the trailer. I was like, whoa, that's straight out of Jungle Beat.
Yeah.
So it feels like this weird mishmash of Donkey Kong games, but it plays very well, and it certainly looks nice. And I think the co-op stuff is pretty interesting, but that sounds like a corporate mandate almost, where Nintendo's like, we want 2D side-scrolling platformers with co-op.
It works for New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it doesn't have four player.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, but for Kirby, that's not new, though. I mean, Kirby's had...
And even for Donkey Kong Country, it's not new.
Right.
Well, yeah, but they didn't have, like...
It was more tagged out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Country.
But it's been a while since I've played one.
It certainly is new for them to push both of them at one time.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was what's unusual, but, you know, they showed Kirby, and I thought back to James saying that, like, you'll never see that Kirby game.
But
it's not.
It's not that Kirby
game.
It isn't.
Exactly. That's the next thought that I had was, you know, this is not Kirby's Adventure. This is not something that Hal's been working on. This is from Goodfield, the people who made Wario Land Shake It, which makes me way more excited.
And
about
the art style. Have we even said the name of the game? It's Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Kirby's Epic Yarn.
And it has this really awesome, like... Basically, Little Big Planet stitched art style. It's gorgeous.
Well, the difference is in Little Big Planet, there's a lot of stuff in there that's not clearly made of some material, you know? And in Kirby, everything is made of some kind of fabric. Everything.
Yeah, and it's
a really amazing art style, I think.
Yeah, and it's weird because you don't actually inhale.
You don't inhale, you don't fly.
You have a little whip, you can, like, turn into a
hover, like a parachute that floats down.
When you're in water, you're a submarine. You can dash and turn into a car.
It's a lot of transformation. I saw Kirby turn into a UFO in the trailer. So
yeah.
I think there might be a way to absorb
energy. There was one
powers.
Section in the E3 demo where basically Kirby turns into a tank.
I saw
that.
And then if you're the second player, you control an arm on screen. But the arm, you can tilt all over the screen with the Wii Remote, which is really cool.
Yeah. There's some good stuff there, and there's the three treasures, and I asked about that, because Wario Land Shake It had three treasures per level, and that unlocks at least, like, achievement-type stuff, but they didn't comment at all, but you can presume that since Goodfield's working on it, and Wario Land Shake It had a lot of these little goodies and bonuses and extra,
right?
One would assume that they're going to do something similar for this game.
Right. I mean, Wario Land looks great, but there's nothing really about the art in that game that I hadn't seen before. It was just a really fine example of, like, 2D sprite artwork and animation. Whereas Kirby, I have to say, you know, we compare it to Little Big Planet, but I don't think I've seen anything that's as cohesive in terms of just every single thing in the game fits within that. I mean, the closest I can think of is Yoshi's Island.
Yeah.
But I think the effect in Kirby is even more striking. everything's made of fabric, and it moves.
Or buttons or zippers.
Yeah.
Right. And it just moves incredibly fluidly.
And a lot of, like, what you do, because you have the whip with Kirby or the co-op partner that's just, like, some blue thing with a crown. But
he's prince of something.
Yeah, we don't know much about the character.
But like, a lot of the things is, like, you basically throw the whip out and grab things and pull them down
right.
to reveal hidden secrets, or even, like, kind of scrunch up the fabric
yeah.
together to cross gaps.
Mm.
And there was even one section that I played where you, like, grabbed a hold of a zipper and you had to unzip something, and then, like, a new section appeared. And it's just a lot of really cool things like that.
A lot of modifying the level
yeah.
with what you do.
And a lot of secrets to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. James, you've been fairly quiet here. I know you're tired. What were your impressions of the press conference? And
it was kind of odd how they basically said, all right, I mean, up until 3DS was revealed, it was basically, wow, this is the Nintendo 2D press conference.
Yeah, there was a lot of, other than Zelda, there was a lot of 2D games.
That was very strange that they, you know, they pushed 2D really, really hard, but then their other corporate focus is, now we have a 3D handheld.
Yeah.
It seems like they're just not talking to each other or something internally. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't see any problem with that.
You can have both.
Yeah,
so,
well,
why do you need to just
but
be a
you're
3D
implying
company?
A corporate message with the whole 2D thing, but they didn't come out and say 2D
no, they didn't.
Is
I'm
the
not,
future.
It's not
they're
playing,
saying, like, gameplay matter.
I'm not saying it's a corporate
was.
Message. I'm just saying it's like they made a big deal about how important all this 3D technology is going to change everything, but they prefaced all that before with a bunch of 2D games.
Yeah.
It was a very weird. It just. They kind of felt weird together like that.
I honestly feel like the 2D stuff is an admission that we. You know, a lot of the Blue Ocean stuff is kind of over for Wii, and a lot of the people who have a continuing interest in the system are people who are playing things like New Super Mario Brothers Wii,
mm-hmm.
and also more traditional games. You know, people who know what Kirby is and appreciate that kind of stuff, who remember playing the original Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
There was a lot of appealing to nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're kind of, it seems like stuff that's kind of on the back side of your game portfolio over the course of a generation,
right.
And I'm fine with that. I mean, I love that stuff that comes late in the, that's when we got Jungle Bee for GameCube,
mm-hmm.
is towards the end.
Yeah.
It's like, they feel comfortable with the technology, they're okay with doing, like, more experimental stuff, but they're also catering to people who've stuck with it for all those years.
Right.
You know, they're not going for the quick grab fans. And you know, one thing they did not show during the press conference is the vitality sensor. In fact, I didn't hear anyone from Nintendo mention it all.
I heard a bunch of people ask reps, and I asked a rep myself, and they were like, "Nope, we're not showing it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, part of it's that usually they have a section that is dedicated to this sort of crowd, and I don't really recall.
They showed Wii Party.
Wii
which
Party
was
the closest
kind of
thing to that. Even that was, it wasn't like Cammy coming out and saying, you know, more smiles and more faces. There was no moment like that.
Control yourself, James.
Well, I mean, they didn't make the comment. I know when Reggie was doing like the sales bit.
Yeah, that's the closest
thing. But like he was making the comment about how like, you know, oh, people think that, you know, Wii's not selling games, but we are. Here's a bunch of games
that's
won't
right.
sell.
But he also said, well, then they're moving over to these bridge titles, and this
yeah.
is, they're talking about this 2D type stuff that we're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's progression over time.
Well,
you don't need to have the Wii Sports. You can have the Wii Sports Resort and try to get people to play Zelda after that.
Yeah,
but they do have the Wii Sports because they have the Mario Sports Mega Ultra Mix, whatever the hell they're
but calling. But that's being made by Square Enix. I mean, it is?
It doesn't necessarily matter who's making it.
It doesn't
though.
Use Motion Plus. It's not that
it's focus,
bad, but it doesn't seem like it's.
It's still the same. I mean, they're not trying to sell that game to people who are like hardcore Galaxy 2 fans. That game is being sold to a different audience.
It's kind of like Mario Deck of Sports.
It is. It's
yeah.
it's that.
It's except for there's only four sports,
so far.
Yeah,
I thought from what I've
Quattro
heard.
Quattro sports.
From what I've heard, there's going to be maybe like five, but it looks like four.
Yeah,
is that the standard?
Yeah, Mario Sports Mix is completely uninteresting to me. Let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Wii Party, they showed a trailer and said almost nothing about it.
Wii Party is basically Mario Party from what I saw. And I think we have impressions of it.
It's Mario Party with Miis.
Yeah.
I actually thought they would talk about Wii Party more and make it more of a
same here.
A showcase, because I'm sure that will be one of their big holiday things. You know, it'll be side A or side
B of a
strategy.
Maybe Nintendo just learned their lesson that the E3 press event is for, like, gamers, and they shouldn't be spending a lot of time talking to the Time magazines of video game coverage.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure they have any reason to learn that lesson. It doesn't seem to have hurt them.
I think they just had a lot of games that they wanted to announce, they knew they were going to spend a significant portion of the conference on 3DS, so they kind of had to get a lot of this stuff out of the way up front. I mean, there was a very quick pace to this stuff. It was mostly Reggie out there, bam, 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 just dropping trailers left and right. Here, watch a trailer. Here, watch a trailer. Here, watch a trailer. And then we got to 3DS.
Right.
Of course, we're skipping over a few things, but the 3DS parts started, and Iwata came out and showed it. This podium rose up out of the floor with the 3DS on
top.
That
was it with, like,
there was, like,
smoke coming
out.
Yes, very dramatic. And Iwata comes out, picks it up, and starts walking around with it and shows it. He opens and closes it. And, you know, it's very similar to what we were expecting, I think. The screen on top wasn't as wide as we'd seen in some of the mock-ups.
It's a widescreen display.
Right, but it's not humongous.
It's just like, it's basically a little bigger than the bottom screen, which the bottom screen, which is only a touch screen only, looks to be more basically what's on a DS.
Yeah. It's a DS light spec screen.
Yeah.
Including what we were able to observe, comparing it to Carly's, and I looked at it afterwards.
Oh, really?
I didn't get to take it out at the same time, but they look identical. I basically saw hers pretty much.
DSi or DS Lite?
Lite.
Yeah, I think it's the same height as the screen below. It's just wider.
It's the same height. I did do that with thumb measurements.
It's certainly not. It's not like dramatically wide. You know,
it's noticeable.
It doesn't
up the entire. Resolution isn't super fine. It's very comparable to DS Lite in terms of, like, the pitch, or what do you call it, like, the size of each pixel.
Like
the size of
DPI.
Each
dots per inch, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It looks good.
I mean, I think the resolution's higher.
The resolution's higher because it's a wider screen.
Right.
There's more pixels.
It has the 3D camera, which I predicted.
And it has the two cameras outside instead of just one.
That is a 3D camera.
well, I mean, just in case people don't know what that is.
Right, right. The camera inside is... the same as you have on DSi. It's been repositioned up above the top screen instead of being on the hinge. But it seems to work basically the same way. And, it has the joystick, which looked...
Slide pad.
It's not a slide pad. It feels pretty good.
That's what it's called. It's called slide pad.
Oh, they're calling it the slide pad?
They're calling it, at least for now. It doesn't feel like a joystick when you feel it.
No.
But it feels... more like a joystick than the PSP nub thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It floats, basically. It feels like it floats around in a circle.
But there's a tension that pulls it back to the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know we were talking about this earlier, and I mean, as far as with using the joystick, there were a few 3DS demos that we got to play. There was the Star Fox 64 3DS, and then I also played Samurai Warriors 3. And when I played Samurai Warriors 3 first, I really liked the slide pad, and I thought it worked really well. And then when I went to Star Fox, it felt a little weirder, and I think that's because I'm used to playing that on N64.
Yeah, that was part of it. But part of it was also I didn't have it inverted, so that goes up and down.
But there
was
just the D-pad.
You could change the D-pad, which I eventually did, and that really helped a lot. I agree, it did feel a little floaty. I don't know if that's the controller, if that was just that it's a early implementation of the port or what. So.
Yeah, I think they've got a little more work to do on the feel of the joystick. I had a hard time playing Star Fox 64, and that first level, I know that level pretty well.
Yeah.
And I was having a hard time. It's not a hard level anyway, but like when I tried to fly through the arches,
I couldn't do it. With that.
It just didn't feel that responsive. And, you know, maybe I have to relearn it on this new control interface, and maybe they need to tweak it a little more. But, the biggest news is the 3D effect, which we already knew about.
Yeah.
And so the main appeal today was to actually see it in person. And they brought this stuff out.
Impressive.
And, you know, we got to see it on the way out of the press conference, and then we got to see it again in the Nintendo booth at the show. And my eyes really got wide the first time I looked at it.
I was jealous of all you guys because they had this at the end of the press conference, kind of what basically exactly what they had last year. They had Zelda kiosks go up right in front of the stage, and then they had a bunch of people with 3DSs in the back. I went to Zelda, and I think most everyone else saw the 3DS, so I had to listen to, oh, it looks so cool, and I had to wait on the line at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's, I mean, when you first see it, it's striking. It's really striking. It pops out, and, you know, I wasn't sure if it would be as good as, of an effect as you get with the glasses, or maybe it would be different, but, I'm not a huge effect of, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, the way Avatar looks and some of the other stuff that I've seen.
It's technically impressive, but...
Yeah, but I do have a strong aversion to the glasses.
Yeah.
And generally, I think in film, there are focus problems with the technology that's used to do 3D. And I haven't really seen that to be the case on the 3DS. It seems like everything stays in focus pretty well. And moreover, because you have maybe some control over... The character or even the camera, it feels like you have a stronger connection to the perspective, and I think it works on the psychology part of depth perception.
Yeah,
and I felt like the 3D effect was probably stronger and just better on the 3DS.
Yeah,
James, what'd you think of it?
So, I think the first few, well, the demo that they had at the press conference, after the press conference, they brought out, I don't know, 50 units tethered to models, essentially.
Yeah. Everything's tethered.
And basically, it was the ultimate tech demo in that it was basically 7 still images you could move around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean move around the camera, just move the image around.
Like dioramas.
Yeah.
Virtual dioramas.
And what was interesting is that in that case, I always kept the slide all the way up. So there's a slide that just the intensity of a particular, the effect, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, in most cases, that was fine. But there were some cases later in the day we had to make adjustments to that, which is interesting. But I think that means that maybe developers can't screw it up, because eventually you can account for their badness.
Maybe that was part of the reason for having those gradations.
Yeah, I think that they had that usability. I think the usability testing said, you know what? Different people like different things, different games, everything. We can't lock it in, so they designed a slider.
The slider's really interesting.
It's really cool to slide up and down.
It is, and I watched that video thing at the press conference twice all the way through and just basically ran that slider up and down the whole time just to compare. It's really, really cool to see the 3D turn on and off in an analog way. I mean, you can control the gradations of it. And for me, it looked pretty good all the way through that through that range. But I agree with James in that when you saw that some of the third-party stuff later and just some of the other demos that we were able to play, there were quite a few where I felt like there's kind of an optimal setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a function of, you know, maybe your particular face, where, you know, how far apart your eyes are and how far away you're holding it from the screen and what angle the hinge is tilted at on the system. But at that point, as I got to spend more time with it, I realized that the 3D slider is almost like a focus tool on binoculars.
Yeah.
Where, you know, having it all the way up doesn't necessarily mean it looks the best or it looks the most 3D. Sometimes you have to dial it down to sort of tune it to the way you're holding it and the way you're looking at it, and then it looks the best. Because it is possible to look at it and things are doubled up or you're just out of focus, and then you slide the 3D bar up and down and you hit that sweet spot and you're like, oh, there it is. And when you hit it, it's like, wow, this looks really good.
I mean, as far as talking about ones that didn't look as impressive, and in particular, there was that Resident Evil Revelations, which is...
Yeah.
It's a game in the Resident Evil line, and it was a very short video, but like it looked like just crappy 3D, because it looked like it was more like you were seeing double images of everything.
I think that demo was actually kind of broken.
Yeah.
That video, I think there was some kind of technical flaw in it, because I could not get it to focus no matter what.
I knew the end of it, I got it to look better, but that felt like that was just like luck.
No, I actually did find a sweet spot in that demo pretty early, and it actually looks quite nice when it's going, because there's a lot of stuff going on in it.
Hmm.
And that's part of the problem, because there's multiple depths of 3D going on in that particular demo.
Well, the good thing is there were a lot of demos. Most of them were video only, but...
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of variety just poking around, so you got a good feel. You know, some of the developers are really taking this stuff seriously.
And,
like, like one that I know Johnny really loves, that I love too, is the Metal Gear Solid demo.
Oh wow, yeah.
Which is beautiful.
It's
I mean,
Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D or Metal Gear Solid 3D Snake Eater,
right? Something like that.
Something like that. I mean, it starts off with you just sort of going through a jungle, and there's snakes and crocodiles, whatever. And I mean, well, that's just kind of the wow factor, but just from in terms of like the polygon counts, and they really are. It's clear that they're really harnessing the power of the system. And then you get to this one part on the bridge where finally control the camera all around. Like, you can rotate it completely. Mm-hmm. And so, like, all the ropes that are holding up the bridge are coming in and out of the field. And just, it's a really impressive.
And they had the kind of corny thing where they had the bees coming to attack Snake, which was kind of corny, but it was still cool because you just... the bee would just pop on screen. You're like, wow, where did this come from?
Something from like an old 50s. Yeah. 3D.
Like, I mean, it was a little...
Captain EO,
yeah,
for those who have seen
it.
Was
an EO, yeah.
At times, the Metal Gear Solid thing was a little gimmicky, but it was still really impressive.
Well, what I liked about it is that, for one, it was probably the longest video, interactive video
really long.
In that area. But you could tell that Kojima had spent a lot of time thinking about the different ways that the 3D effect might be used. So... it starts out in first person, and then there's kind of a cut scene where Snake's climbing around on stuff, and then you can see it in that. And then he's walking across the bridge, which is more like something you would do during gameplay. You're not actually controlling him, but since it's just the bridge, it almost doesn't even matter, because all he'd be doing is just going straight. So then you can really focus on moving the camera all over. And the other part that I found extremely impressive about that is that I thought the graphical quality of that demo, just period, was the best I'd seen. I mean, it really looks even better than the actual Metal Gear Solid 3 on PS2. It looks exactly the same, except I think a little cleaner with better texture quality.
Yeah.
And so that was the first thing I noticed, is like, whoa, this is way beyond anything you could see on the original DS. Even if you've got 3D turned all the way off, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the problem with some of the other things is I think I went straight from Metal Gear Solid over to play Star Fox 64
3D. Metal Gear Solid was the second thing I saw, and everything else in comparison.
It really, yeah, it'll spoil you, because then I went to go play an N64 game, and the 3D effect works really nicely.
Yeah, there's
Star
a really
Fox,
nice feet, like sense of depth.
But it
Star
looks
Fox
like an N64 game, and honestly, I'm kind of upset with this, because I was really looking forward to a new Star Fox game.
Yeah.
And Star Fox 64 is one of my favorite games, but I already own it twice over. And the 3D effect isn't enough of a reason, really, for me to go after it again. And the problem, again, is that the visual quality of that N64 port is... if this was on DS, it would look pretty good relative to a lot of other DS games. On 3DS... you put it up against some of these other demos, and it looks really bad.
Yeah. And it sends a strange message, because this is supposed to be a much more powerful system, right? So,
right.
Why are you porting
you
a 64
to...
ports. Well, right. You did a 64 port for launch
of the DS 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Now you're going to do it again for 3DS? You're right. It's a
weird
bad message. And you're right. They'd be better off porting GameCube games to this, because it could handle it.
Yeah.
You know? I think we're over the days of porting in 64. Unless you're going to totally remodel everything and retexture everything and add a bunch of new lighting, they did have some.
It
new
seems
textures.
Like they are. They even made the comment in the roundtable that they are updating stuff.
Well, they said they're thinking about.
They're going to add a new battle mode or something. You know.
That's what I'm afraid of. Yeah, I don't think they're going to completely redo the graphics. And you know, I hate to be superficial about it, but it is your shiny new system that you want to show off to people, and N64 games not the way to go.
I still like Aaron's idea of Star Fox 64 2D, where it's a scrolling shooter.
Yeah, it would be great as a download title, and they didn't talk about download services.
Yeah, nothing.
But they talked about the online and how, I mean, like, when you're connected to a Wi-Fi point, it'll download stuff. Like,
automatically.
Yeah.
I
think that was about it. There were a lot more words in it, and it confused me at times.
It sounds like the wireless tag mode kind of stuff that you get in Nintendogs and Dragon Quest IX is built into the system firmware, and it'll do it for basically all your games, and it'll do it even if you're playing another game that doesn't even support that feature. So it basically runs in the background all the time, including when you put it in sleep mode. So I think the idea is to rarely turn the system all the way off. Basically, the default would be throw it into sleep, close it, it uses very little power, and just leave it lying around and carry it with you. You know, I think if they work in the fitness stuff that I predicted earlier, that would be a very good reason for people to carry it with them in sleep mode all the time. And then they'll get all these Wi-Fi update things pushed for all their games and whatever. But
and then I can watch the Hollywood movies that will be coming to the system at some point, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting take on what Iwata suggested, and that, you know, he talked about wanting people's DS to go online more often, but without having to pay a monthly subscription. And a lot of us looked at that as, and he name-dropped the Kindle. A lot of us thought about there being some kind of, you know, prepaid lifetime wireless contract or something like that. And it sounds like probably what they meant was, let's think of ways to allow people to use Wi-Fi more often with less obstruction, with less setup. It just kind of automatically worked. I think it's a good idea, especially with the fact that Wi-Fi hotspots are becoming more and more and more prevalent. And part of the problem with the DS is that it's a bitch to actually get it online. Yeah. Even if you've got a Wi-Fi hotspot, you have to go through all this crap, and not every game even supports it. If it's built into the system and it just kind of does that and it just seeks those out automatically, it makes sense. You know, it's not going to be online all the time, but it'll be online often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what we missed in that little discussion is that basically they've created an ad hoc network, and it doesn't need to be connected to the internet, because what he explained is that you can download levels from online via somebody who already had them on their DS when you come into the tag with them.
That was another part.
So it basically, as long as somebody in that ad hoc network has Wi-Fi access, these levels will cascade out, basically like a virus.
I was thinking, it's almost like a viral thing.
Which is troubling, to be honest.
No, I think it's really cool. If you think about the way they released Mew back on the original Game Boy, where you had to like go to one of these mall events, but the idea was that maybe you'll trade him, or you'll be able to clone him, or there's some, you know, hack or something. But eventually, a lot of people got Mew, even though you couldn't actually get him in the game.
Yeah.
This seemed like a really more sophisticated way to do that, where maybe they introduce it at some special event, but then
just
more people play with that, then more, you know, and eventually it spreads all over the country, all over the world. And even people who, you know, maybe live in rural areas and rarely get online and rarely get to play their DS with other people, but they happen to take it when they go into town to go get groceries or something, they pick it up from someone there, they take it home. Oh, look, I get this new content. I don't even have the internet.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, if they can pull that off, that's actually a really cool idea. So, I think we're going to wrap it up pretty soon. Any final thoughts, guys, on what you played today?
We kind of never talked about that Kid Icarus game from 3DS.
That's right, yeah. That was the game that they showed at the press conference. It was a long trailer.
Project Sora.
That's right. That's what Sakurai's been working
on. And apparently that's why Project Sora was formed, was to find out how to make a game for 3DS, or find out, make a game, period.
And, you know, presumably he got interested in Kid Icarus from working on Brawl and getting Pit.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big return of Pit.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Kid Icarus, the subtitle is Uprising, or is it Rising?
Kid Icarus Uprising.
Uprising. I think it looks spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
it looks very similar to Brawl, in all honesty.
Yeah, it looks like a GameCube or, you know, something like that type game on a very small screen. And it's not really playable here. There's, again, it's a sort of a video where you can move the camera around a little bit.
They're big into that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of shooting. There's some walking around, you know, some almost like cover-based
Sin and Punishment-esque.
You know, jumping and rolling around as you shoot at enemies.
Well, it seemed like there was also some like side-scrolling shooting levels or something, too, based on the trailer.
A lot of variety, it looks like.
Flying around and slashing and things in the air.
Sin Punch.
It did look like there's a lot of variety, at least in terms of the mechanics. But, I think it looks really good. It was quite a surprise.
Johnny's looking forward to the Sakurai level design.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But Kid Icarus, that's a hell of an announcement. The crowd seemed really excited by it. I was a little surprised.
It was funny because I think James and I don't know if you noticed it, because we once again had a seat at the press conference where we could see the teleprompter in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever a trailer would go up, or when they'd be teasing a trailer, I'd look over there and see what it was. And I saw the Kid Icarus one, I'm like, oh, cool. And then when they had it up on the screen, you just see the entire crowd went nuts. I'm like, I already knew that. Not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I got a picture of the teleprompter.
Yeah, the teleprompter. Teleprompters are funny.
It's humongous.
Yeah.
Humongous at the Nintendo.
They had one part where Reggie had to say something with whimsy.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that.
Ouch.
Yes.
And the Zelda was codenamed Wii King.
Yeah. That was the name of the trailer was Wii King.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So they actually had what they call the trailers internally, and some of them don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, Wii King.
Metroid Other M last year was The Other.
The Other, right.
Well, did we want to talk about Metroid at all? I mean, they showed a little bit.
They didn't really show Metroid at the press conference.
Yeah.
It is playable. I believe it's the same demo they had at the Media Summit. It's certainly.
There's another section added, because Aaron played it at the Media Summit. I was talking to him about it.
Okay.
And the section that you played,
mm-hmm.
that was new for this.
But that section is extremely short.
It's about 5 minutes long,
yeah.
Tops.
Well, I had two 3DS titles that I wanted to touch on.
Okay.
One was kind of something that was sort of downplayed, but I think to me it's a big deal, Pilot Wings.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to check
it out. I mean, everyone's
been
clamoring for Pilot Wings for so long, and they're making one for 3DS, which I think is a very good choice. I think it's a very good pick.
Yes.
And it's a weird marriage of Wii Sports Resort and Pilot Wings 64.
Yeah, it's
Pilot Wings Resort.
It takes place on Woohoo Island,
or
which is not dead.
At least I hope that they have more than just Woohoo Island. I suspect that's like Holiday. There's Holiday Island. There's the first level.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to do that for instead of Holiday Island if they're going that one.
Right.
But and that was really cool. They had the jetpack. And then they had kind of a glider flying through rings. And the glider was a little...
It wasn't a glider, it was a plane.
It was a plane?
Yeah, it had an engine.
And actually, the plane, I found it hard to turn. Maybe it's the same phenomenon as Star Fox. Maybe there's something about the joystick.
I don't know.
I can't wait to check that out.
But I'm hyped, and the rocket pack was totally fun. So
it looks nice. It looked basically like a GameCube game. I mean, it was nice and rounded and rich and colorful.
Right.
Sharp looking.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about, which I don't think is a real game. It was a really cool tech demo, though. It was this one thing, I don't know what they were calling it, but basically you used the two cameras in the back and you pointed at this question block on a piece of paper or on a wood plank as kind of a target. And the game, once it kind of locked in with what it was looking for, it then superimposed its own virtual version of this.
It was an augmented reality game.
And then all of a sudden there's like targets that you shoot at, and you have to move the DS, 3DS around to like aim it at a different angle of this little miniature arena.
I think it's using a combination of the motion sensor and gyroscope inside.
I forgot about mentioning that for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really shown in most of the demos, but I think it's using some combination of that as well as some visual feedback of what the cameras are seeing. So I think there's a relative differentiation of the camera based on that baseline shot that you took in the beginning. But it's cool. Yeah, you aim by moving the DS around that spot that it was originally looking at.
And then like if you get too close or too far away and it says, I can't see the question mark, the reality fades in again, and all of a sudden you're looking at that plank that was what you were really staring at, right?
That's really cool. And then you have to
refocus, and then all of a sudden the virtual reality comes back into appearance, and it's just surreal. It's amazing.
It was amazing, when the person who told us about it in the booth, she was an employee, and the way she described it, I thought, this sounds kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
When I played it, I was like, oh, I'm going to remember this in a few months. I mean, it's not a game.
How did I miss that in Pilot Wings?
Well, this is totally under the radar, but it's clearly a tech demo. But I think you could, maybe build some really interesting gameplay around it.
Yeah.
And my question was, can I now move this question block to my refrigerator or my desk at school, or, you know, can I sort of put it on my shirt, and then the augmented reality behind it, you know, the part that morphs around and becomes the enemy and, you know, has all these targets applied to it, will that change? So my question is sort of, how robust is it? I mean, as long as you have that one target that it knows to identify, you can sort of put it anywhere and then create your own game space out of different environments, different surfaces.
No, but because it seemed like they had a model version of that plank that they were bending and warping that I don't think you could generate on the fly. But
if you morph the photograph, you know.
Yeah, it's possible.
The image that it's picking up, that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
So, but it's when you guys go back and play it tomorrow, you'll have to check that out. It's a really unusual thing. And it's not, again, it's not, I don't think anything we saw today was a game that could only be played with a 3D effect on.
But they sure as hell look cool.
That was probably the closest thing.
Yeah, a lot of them look significantly better with the 3D on. And some of them just make more sense. And I think that one in particular wouldn't be nearly as impressive without it.
Right.
Know? Because it is coming out, not only coming out of the screen, but almost coming out of
it reality. It blurs reality and fiction. I mean,
right, so it really helps in that case.
Yeah.
So... All right, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up now.
I just want to make a quick mention about how Nintendogs plus Cats looked on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it at the roundtable, and it's not really something that's terribly interesting, at least at the demo, because it was just the dogs.
Yeah.
But it was really cool interacting with the dogs in 3D, because you get that real nice sense of depth with it. And like when you have the Frisbee or the tennis ball or the boomerang you could throw, and you throw it, you see it come back to you very, very vividly.
Mm.
I just thought that was worth noting.
Yeah, I didn't really get any time with that one, so I'll have to check it out again. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And listen back for tomorrow, when we'll probably talk more about some third-party stuff.
Stay tuned.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.